Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill
from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
We're up to segment number 4 in our coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's head to the courtroom.
Your Honor, the state would renew the objection for lack of foundation. We would also renew our objection regarding relevance. I think in listening to what the, as well as the objection for hearsay, the defense has represented that they are introducing this for the truth of the matter, and yet we have three individuals that are not here to authenticate the recording or their statements in them or be questioned regarding them. In addition, doing a quick search, and I know this is not binding on this court, but there is clear case law, and there's multiple case law regarding a defendant not being allowed to present a self-serving statement. And even if there is a contention made, the state has opened the door by asking about earlier remarks. It doesn't allow for a defendant to introduce a self-serving statement. So the state would again object to any of these statements being introduced by Ms. Vallow. In addition, given the nature of the statements they intend to introduce by Ms. Vallow, we would object based on the fact that prior rulings have excluded those particular remarks. And specifically when Colby Ryan was testifying, there was certain evidence that has been excluded by this court that the defense is attempting to introduce through this exhibit as well. In addition, we were talking about beliefs represented by Chad Daybill. And again, Chad Daybill is not party or present during this recording, and so we would again renew the objection to the to it being presented to the jury.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake, for the argument. Mr. Archibald, if you'd like to make any final argument in support of the admissibility of this exhibit, you may.
Your Honor, I think sufficient foundation has been laid. I appreciate Mr. Gilbert telling us the truth that, yes, he's listened to this. He's identified the voices. And I'm willing to just play the first 40 minutes rather than the whole hour and 49 minutes. I believe the state did open the door to this issue with Mr. Gilbert indicating through the state's case in chief that he had listened to podcasts. So I think it's I think the sufficient foundation has been laid. I think the jury should be able to listen to the first 40 minutes.
All right. The court's considered the objections here made by the state to the admissibility of proposed defense exhibit E. As a starting point, I do find that this witness has laid a substantial and significant enough foundation for that hurdle to be overcome on foundation, where he identified clearly at least three of the four voices here, recalls having listened to the podcast previously. The record before the court is that the defense received the exhibit through discovery from the state, so concerns about any alterations or other inaccuracies, I think, are overcome by that. And I'll note that any of these concerns can still be addressed by the state on redirect examination as well. In terms of the contents of this, the theory of this case has delved into religious ideology throughout. It's considered one of the charged overt acts in the indictment. It's been central to the case. There, even in this podcast, a material witness who's already testified on religious issues also included in this podcast. There have previously been recorded statements of the defendants, of the defendant, Ms. Vallo, introduced with the jail calls. The court can consider whether or not this is just simply not to be allowed as hearsay statements, but the court would note that under Rule 803.24, there is a general catch-all provision of the hearsay rule. And in this context, I don't see this as necessarily all being offered for the truth of what's being asserted in this podcast, but more to the theory of the state as it relates to the religious beliefs of the defendant in this case and how those play into the charged conspiracy. So for those reasons, I am going to overrule the state's objection. I'll allow for the Exhibit E to be admitted, and that will just be for the first 40 minutes of that exhibit. So before it's provided to the jurors in deliberation, Mr. Archibald, we need to make sure it's just a single file on the thumb drive that they get, and clip off the remaining part of that podcast that would not be published today. So that'll be the court's ruling outside of the presence of the jury. That will conclude the ruling on that matter, and we'll have the jurors brought back in, and you can publish at that time if you wish, Mr. Archibald.
Thank you.
And, Your Honor, I apologize. Before bringing the jurors back in, I think given the nature of what's being purported to be in the recording, I guess the state would just indicate we believe this may open the door for some introduction of some additional evidence that would have probably been considered 404B. But given the nature of the statements that it's indicated the defendant is going to make in this, I think that is going to open the door for the introduction of additional evidence, specifically regarding a prior husband of hers.
Okay. Well, Ms. Blake, I guess two things. One door may open another, and that's part of how we're here. And I'll keep that in mind. And secondly, as I indicated, I haven't heard the recording. At some point, if the state feels it's necessary to renew an objection, I want to have the exhibit able to be stopped without delay. And I won't take any offense if a new or renewed objection's made at that point, Ms. Blake. So that's where we stand at this point. Let's go ahead and have the jurors returned, and you can continue with your cross-examination, Mr. Archibald.
Oh, I don't know how to do that.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. All right, outside of the presence of the jurors, then we took up a motion to allow for the admissibility of an exhibit, which was Defense Exhibit E. The court did allow it to be admitted partially, which would be the first 40 minutes. And Mr. Archibald, if you'd like to continue with your cross-examination, you can do so.
All right, thank you. So, Mr. Gilbert, this podcast that we just played portions of, you've been able to identify those voices?
Yes.
All right. And may the first 40 minutes be published to the jury?
Yes.
About 10 years ago, I had such a powerful spiritual experience because I had a breakdown. And that breakdown led me to realize how much I needed to change my life. My heart needed to change. I was angry, I was frustrated, I had a lot of issues. And I didn't understand what it looked like to completely be accountable for self. And so as I spent a little less than a year praying and praying and praying in my closet, something happened that was so marvelous that it changed my heart forever. And I was filled with love from the top of my head through my whole soul. And a love was so powerful that I knew Jesus Christ could do it all. I am a testifier of his power of changing hearts. I had a lot of pain. I suffered with a lot of pain. And when I started to feel that love, I knew there was something more that God had to offer me. And since then, I have wanted to share that message because I wanted everybody to take of it. And I believe that everybody can. It's just a decision of desire to want to and to be willing to look in the mirror at yourself and not those around you. And when you're able to do that, everything changes and the Lord will have love and mercy on you. And so I started little bit writing. I just want to start off with a little bit and then I love hearing them speak. This is just a little part of a book that I started writing. It's something about a change of heart. I'm not sure what it's going to be called yet, but what I had learned from my experiences, this is a little part that I felt inspired to write one day. After going through all these things of being a victim, I had learned Melanie is a fighter and never gives up. Why? Giving up means unhappiness, hopelessness, and bitterness. I was not and am not willing to settle for less. Father told me who I am. He tells me what I can become. Why would I listen to any other voice? I have suffered too much to walk away now. I have suffered a lifetime of pain. I'm done fighting. I am surrendered. I am his. I have all the hope in the world because of my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the way. There is no other way. I have tried so many other ways, and they do not work. I will follow him. I will love him forever. He changed me. He snatched my soul from hell and brought me to his bosom. He filled me with his love that would change me forever. He can do it. He has done it, and he will continue to do it for eternity. He is my God, and I am his daughter. Yes, a daughter of the living God. I know whose I am. I know who has my back. He is magnificent. He is to be praised forever. He overcame the world, a world of sin who betrayed him, yet he partook of the bitter cup and drank for us. Why would you not choose Jesus when it is a choice? Why would you not choose the most powerful being in the universe the God who created heaven and earth, the creator of our souls. We are his. And this is what came to me as I was writing, and the Spirit filled my soul, is I knew that I am his. And he has changed me forever. Does that mean I have challenges too? Yes. I want you to listen to my friends also, because their experiences are so powerful that it gives me hope of what journey I'm on, because they have unique experiences and I am blessed and privileged to know them. So, you know, and please feel free to ask questions as well. Thor, do you want to kind of start a little bit?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Or to keep the time, so just be like 15 minutes or something. Kind of a little bit, 10, 15. I'll try to be quick, but also to the point where... So, my prayer is that my story will impact somebody's life. I pray that the Holy Ghost will flow through me to speak to you on a spiritual level, and to my prayer is that you would act upon some of the things that would change your journey. So, I've had some pretty cool experiences where I've had Heavenly Father get involved in my life. Heavenly Father is the most kind, loving father in the world. I've had experiences with Heavenly Mother. She is so incredibly loving that it has changed my life. Jesus Christ is a big part of this. The angel Michael to become warriors. I just wanted to give you a prelude before I started my story. So anyways, when I was 12 years old, I grew up on the Indian reservation. And the culture on the Indian reservation was that everybody smoked and everybody drank. So by the time I was 12, I was a smoker and a drinker, and that was the culture. So everyone did it, and there really wasn't any rules that you weren't supposed to. So I started drinking and smoking, and that was part of my life. And then as I became more of an alcoholic, by the time I was 18, 19, 20, I started falling into a lot of pitfalls. So one of the unique experiences, as I tell my story too, is that I see the spirits coming into the room to actually coax people into what they're doing. So when we hear about spirit prison, it's very real. And that Satan is here and his minions are here. So as I started drinking and falling into the traps, you could see the spirits of people that were deceased around the people that were about to drink alcohol and different things, and would help them to lure them in. And then as they did, then you could see the spirit kind of fading. It wasn't as bright. To get into when things really started to change for me was near the end of my drinking. I had gotten to a point in my life where I really didn't even care if I lived anymore. Drinking and drugging just gets to the point where it just suppresses your spirit so much that you can care less if you're alive. So I had planned it all out that I was going to end my life. And Satan had always been around me, kind of in the backdrifts of different things, kind of watching over me. But on the night that I decided to end my life, there he was with me. And he was like, just do it. Just kill yourself. And I pulled out a 12-gauge shotgun. I pulled it up to my head. I was ready to blow my brains out. I was ready to end this life. And I guess there was a different plan for me. Because that was the night that Heavenly Mother came into the room. And as Satan looked at her, he ran out of the room. And she said, Thor, I love you so much, and it's time to start our new life. And that's the night that would forever change my life, and that's the night that would forever change my testimony to each and every one of you to have faith in this journey, because it's very real. The following day, I got up and I drove my car and I was getting ready to go to the next big party, and out on the road came a blood flew everywhere, and I got to the place where I was going to, and they were like, you've been saved. The blood of Christ has been shed for you. I didn't really fully understand at the time, but anyways, that night I took a demon out of my body. I could see it left. But the best part of everything is I started having faith that the system was real and that what God set up for me was I would start to get like this tree of life. And it would be about sacrifice and gratitude and all the different tests that we're going through on earth that all have a purpose. So that this big tree would come in front of me and it would be like gratitude. And I would have people around me that wouldn't show me any gratitude. And then the next couple months later, it would have like tons of gratitude. People would be like, thank you so much for your story. You're just a great guy. Thank you for hanging out with me tonight and different things. And then at the end of the test, it would be like, so what did you prefer better? Did you like the people with gratitude or no gratitude? And I'd be like, well, obviously I like the gratitude. And then it would be like, okay, move on. And then I'd move on to my next test. And it was just one after another of all these different tests. And then I would have to love myself in order to give love to others. So it's like I desperately prayed to Father. I cried many nights. It was like, when am I going to meet a girl and settle down? And he'd be like, Gloria, you're not quite ready yet. And he would show me this big graph and it would say, you need to love yourself first before I introduce you to one of my beautiful daughters. I can't give love unless you have love. So then he would sit and show me like how involved he was in my life. And I would have hummingbirds that would come around me and people that told me they loved me. And just like, Thor, try it this way, and I would try it this way, and he would show me how I passed the test. And all along, I was learning, my heart was getting stronger and bigger with love. And then when it was filled with love, he said to me at a restaurant one day, there was a big checkered flag. He's like, Thor, you've been passing your tests. You're about to meet, you know, your wife. And then I met her like a few days later. But it's just so significant to me, like, when people say, how do you get from here to here? If you can see Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and Heavenly Mother, and this earth was perfectly created for us to come to, exactly 93 million miles away from the sun. If it was any closer, we'd burn to death. Any farther, we'd freeze to death. There's a perfect alignment where it's on an axis and it's got a magnet system where the rocks don't hit us. It's perfectly created with oxygen and carbon dioxide, every single thing in it. And if you can start to visualize that this was perfectly designed for me to come to at this exact time for this exact experience, and if I am willing to pass all the tests that I signed up for, I basically have won the lottery. If I pass the test, when I go back on the other side of the veil, all that the Father has will be given to His sons and daughters. I found the fountain of youth. My spirit goes on for eternity. I'll never die. My spirit will keep going and passing the tests and becoming to salvation. I will have pure joy. No more Satan. So as I see all of these things come in front of me, I'm like, Father, I want to pass my tests. I know that everyone has different tests, but I know that we need to understand these tests because it's exactly what I signed up for this exact time on this exact mission. And if I pass these tests, all these amazing things are coming. And I want to be part of your team because you created it. Satan, he's here for opposition. He can bruise my heels, but he can't crush my head. So many times that I was about to have huge blessings on my life, and Satan was so good with the natural man that he could just throw a party here and throw this here and throw this there and detract me from getting this amazing blessing. And that was part of his plan, was to stop us from getting this full exaltation, all this joy. But you can't hurt me anymore. Now that I know how you do this, and now I know you do this, and how you do this, you cannot hurt me anymore. Stand behind me. I don't want you in my life. I know that you're going to try to impact people around me. I know you're going to throw darts, but that's okay. You know what? I'm on this side. I've stood in rooms where people are sitting there, and family members that are angels that have came into the room, they whisper in their ear, and I see their spirits evolve a little bit more. I love to stand in the room when an angel comes in the white silhouette. When they enter the room, all light drives out all darkness. No evil spirits are allowed in the room. And those angels literally can move heaven and earth and shake plans up like you wouldn't believe. After seeing some of the different angels and different things going on, I want to pass my test, and I want to be one of the angels that's able to come in and to help my family members out and the people around me, and just to literally come in and bam, then no darkness can be in the room where the light just shatters everyone. That's where I want to be. My message as a testimony of these things, I've had several near-death experiences, but I've made it, and I'm on this side today. I promise you that our journey is very real, and our eternal spirits are counting on it. As you see the battlefield around you, choose to be the one that's walking forward and not getting distracted by the evil spirits or fear and chaos. There is three voices that you will hear as you're on your journey. When the heavens are speaking to you, they are very clear, confident, and loving. Try it this way. Do it this way. They already know everything about you. They already know what to do. They know the plan. The human mind will evaluate things where it's like, should I or shouldn't I? I'm not quite sure. But to my understanding this far on my journey, this is what I do. And the longer you're on the journey, the more you see it, and the more Satan, whenever he's in the room, I can always feel the energy because there is chaos, drama, fear, destruction. He's always destroying. So you can always see who's been in the room. You can just feel like a negative energy. It's just... I feel very, very grateful to be a witness of, to be able to feel the energy of a room and then to see some of the things going on, where I'm able to relay that back to others. So I hope the spirit that is felt tonight, where you felt that message, that I'm not the kind of person that would ever fib about something like this. This is very real, and it's awesome. God's plan is perfect. Every single thing that you are going through is real, and whether it's making you a warrior or more of a kind and loving person, all the people involved are just rooting you on. You've got family members that are around you. You've got guardian angels. You've got... Your spirit is a lot stronger than you even know. When you signed up for the mission, I mean, you were already a mature spirit before you even came to Earth. And there's three levels of the celestial kingdom. So anything you didn't know yesterday, that's fine. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be a blue curtain that's going to come up. And it's going to be a brand new day. And anything you didn't do right yesterday, you get a whole new chance today. It's like, all right, today I'm going to do it differently. And every single day you do it differently and differently. And then you pass the test and you're like, all right, keep moving on. I'm just marching down the field and I'm passing my tests. And even the bad experiences in life, you start to see some of the people around you, like friends or family, that are having struggles with those tests. But because you went through them, you have empathy for them, and you look at them, and you're like, hey, try it this way, maybe this way. You are able to give somebody light that maybe couldn't see it for themselves. And once you plant that seed, and the big puzzle goes up in front of you, and it's like, boom, 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 all the pieces start to come together, then all of a sudden you see it, and it's there, and you want others to see it. So I love coming to events like this, because every person that speaks, you're able to take a little piece of part of their journey, and you get to see how God worked in their life, and it's like, wow. And then you get to see it through their spiritual eyes, and so I hope that made a difference in in your life tonight by some of my experiences, and if you have some questions for me later on or whatever after these guys talk, then I'll be here until probably about 8:30. So. Thank you so much. My name is Thor Michael Forseth, and I appreciate your time tonight and letting me be part of your life tonight. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm gonna hear you first. I
want to
sum it all up. You know, I have to be the star of the
show. The Israelites were finally allowed to enter into Canaan, and Joshua was at the helm. And their first job, their first responsibility was to purge Jericho. And the scouts went out and they saw that there were these gigantic walls and they were monstrous warriors, and this was a very difficult task. And Joshua, who had been with Moses from the beginning, and was one of, I believe, two people allowed to actually enter Canaan because of everybody's, that generation's disbelief, he gathered the warriors of Israel together and he said, "Sanctify yourselves, because on the morrow the Lord will do wondrous things for you." We have been given a timeline by the prophet of God to sanctify ourselves. Last week he said, eat your vitamin pills and get plenty of rest. Because things are going to get very, very exciting. He said, if this year and next year, things are going to get very, very exciting. Now the prophet of God, if you have ears to hear, gave us a timeline. This year and next year, things are going to get very exciting. It is time for us to sanctify ourselves. The waiting is over. The questioning is over. It's time for you to pick a side. And Joshua continues on in his little instruction with the Israelite warriors, and he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That is the decision that I made a while ago. And I had to travel a very, very hard road to get to that point. I grew up in the church. But I was not a very good Mormon. I could sure talk the talk, I could sure walk the walk. I went on a mission and all that stuff, but I hadn't had my conversion process. Carried on with my life. You guys all, most of you know my story. For those of you that don't, very quickly, I've been a soldier, a police officer my entire life. 6 months after I got home off my mission, I joined the Army, and this is all I've ever done. And I've been all over the world, and I've seen some pretty cool things, and I've done some pretty cool things. And I was wounded very severely in the line of duty back in 2013. I was in a fight with a drug dealer in a dark alley. It was just me and him. And I was wounded so severely that I lost the ability to walk. It took me about 3 years to learn to walk again. At that time, my wife left me. I got no support from the police department. They said it was a pre-existing condition. I wounded myself and came to work and worked a 10-hour shift as a cop. And so when it was all said and done, I was homeless, crippled, unemployed, broke, and divorced. All at the same time. And so you get to that point where there's nothing left in your life, and you have to make a choice. And I chose victory. And clawed my way out of it hand over hand. Found love again, rebuilt my life, rebuilt my finances, was honorably medically retired from the police department. Because I refused to give up. And I went to the Lord and I said, "Look, I thought we were good. You know, for the first 30 years of my adult life, I was this guy. You know, I was the sheepdog. I got between the wolves and the sheep. And I was really good at what I did. And I liked what I did. Jumping out of airplanes, kicking in doors, you know, fighting smash house football with, you know, drug dealers. And you know, traveling all over the world and just doing good deeds for other people. That was me. And I'm only good at a few things, and that was it. That was one of them. And I thought we were good. I thought Heavenly Father and I had this deal. I would do this, he would make me good at this, and I would just keep doing this. And so when I lost everything, including my ability to be the sheepdog anymore, and everything that I needed in my life to make it possible for me to be the sheepdog, everything, gone. I was convalescing in my mom's sewing room on a child's daybed, is where I ended up. I went from being a SWAT cop to an invalid, like that. And so I went back to Heavenly Father and I said, look, I thought we were good. I thought we had this agreement. You know, I was this guy and this was what I was supposed to do. And in his way of answering my prayers, which he answers all of us specifically for how we need to hear it, he said, no, I allowed you to survive all of that so that you can do this now. This is your job now. So my job now is to wake up that warrior spirit inside of us to help us become who we were destined to become and to help who's ready to hear put themselves on that path of greatness, that path of destiny that we have. Many of us have been preordained to do very, very amazing things here on this earth. I heard a quote from Winston Churchill, and I actually printed it down. I wanted to bring it because I thought it was very applicable for what I'm talking about today. See if I can find it here real quick. Winston Churchill, during the height of World War II, was trying to inspire the British people. Most of you know the story about the Battle of Britain and how they were being almost overrun by the Nazis. To every man there comes, and I say man, I mean mankind, to every man there comes that special moment when he is figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a special thing unique to him and fitted to his talent. Not in a general sense, but specifically for that person. What a tragedy if that moment finds him unprepared or unqualified for the work, which would be his finest hour. Can you imagine having to stand in front of Heavenly Father and account for what you've done, knowing fully that you were given this special job that only you could do? This would have been your finest hour. You at that moment in time would have been the most important thing in his kingdom, because you and only you could have accomplished this mission. And you failed him because you didn't take the time to figure out who you are. You didn't sanctify yourself. You didn't prepare yourself. You didn't trust in our Heavenly Father. You didn't act like a warrior. There's only one reason why you're on this earth right now, because you were a warrior in heaven. You were prepared in the pre-existence for this moment in time to come down on this earth and to face Satan in open warfare because of how valued you were in the pre-existence. President Nelson, 6 months ago, looked your children in the eye and called them the Lord's Youth Battalion. He was very specific. President Nelson doesn't just use words. Okay, he is a very intelligent man, and every word that he uses is thought over and considered. And he used a military formation to describe what he means now. A battalion of youth. Now, we have an example of this in scriptures. Before, there was a group of young men that were called to serve. And we all know this story, or most of us know this story. What are we talking about here? The stripling warriors, right? Now, if you have ears to hear, what did the president of the church, the prophet of God, just call our children? The modern-day stripling warriors. He's calling for his battalions, his youth battalions. If they are the modern-day stripling warriors, if you have ears to hear, what did he just call us, the parents of these children? The mothers and fathers that prepared those stripling warriors for combat. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual combat. What is our responsibility as the parents of these stripling warriors? To prepare them for combat on all four of those fronts. The stripling warriors in the Book of Mormon did everything to exactness. They didn't come to camp and learn how to do everything to exactness. They showed up that way because of what their mothers had taught them, because of how the examples their fathers had shown them. If you have ears to hear, you have been called to the work. You have been enlisted in the Lord's army to train the youth battalions and prepare them for combat, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. If you are not prepared to do that, then it's time for you to sanctify yourself, to cleanse the inner vessel. Because it doesn't matter what you want to do in this world, if you don't have that personal connection with our Heavenly Father, if you are not prepared, like President Nelson said, to receive personal revelation in your life, then you will not survive spiritually. Those are his words. And if the parents of the Stripling warriors, the modern-day Stripling warriors, cannot survive spiritually, where are these children going to learn to fight? Are they going to learn it from school? Are they going to learn it from the government? Are they going to learn it from entertainment and from their cell phones? This world has been designed to destroy them. Everything in this world has been designed to distract them away from this most important job. As President Nelson described, the single most important job on this earth is to prepare this earth for the second coming. Everything your child does, participates in, listens to, goes to, everything is designed to distract them, to destroy them. Satan has prepared this battle space for 6,000 years. And every ambush, every trap, every choke point, every pillbox, every attack point on this battle space that your children are under, he has prepared this for hundreds, if not thousands of years. We didn't wake up one morning and just have a problem with pornography. This is something that has been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years, to attack the soldiers before they ever get onto the field. We didn't have just wake up one morning and have a problem with multiculturalism or having a hard time even defining the difference between man and woman. This is something that he started in motion to destroy this generation because he knows who we are. We faced him in battle before, each of us, specifically, hand-to-hand combat, or we wouldn't be here. If we weren't the most valiant in the pre-existence, he wouldn't have even brought us here at this time. Some of you literally put your hands on evil and walked them out of heaven. And that is why Heavenly Father trusts you so much. And that is why Satan pushes down so hard on you. Because he knows exactly who you are and exactly how powerful you are. Now, a warrior looks at that, a civilian would look at that and go, oh, woe is me. Look how difficult my life is. Oh, I'm broken. I'm unemployed. Oh, this is horrible. A warrior goes, hey, I'm going to wear this contempt like a badge of honor. That tells me exactly who I am. If Satan has focused so much energy on me, that is a testament, that is a witness to you about how important you are and how powerful you are to him, and how dangerous you are to his plan. That is how a warrior looks at things. Now, the prophet of God has called for his words. He has sounded assembly. He has blown the trumpets and beaten the drums. It is time to become who you are. It's time to wake up, shed off the earthly man, move up from the telestial to the terrestrial state. Do not be led, but lead. That is why you are here. That is who you are. When you feel that inside of you, when you hear that, and you feel that burning inside of you, that is the captain's call. That is the trumpet to assemble. That is your warrior spirit rising up inside of you. Don't deny it. Don't fight against it. Embrace it. Accept who you are and move forward with faith. My name is Jason Mao, and I go all over the country and I motivate people. I inspire people to greatness. And if you guys have any questions about this stuff and the process that I went through to get to this point, I would love to answer them to you. Thank you.
Jason, I love everything that Jason says. So,
Your Honor, I'm going to renew our objection and ask to approach.
Okay. Thanks, counsel. All right. Thank you, counsel. After the sidebar, there's a continued objection. The court needs to make an in-camera review of this next part of the podcast before it's published to the jurors. I understand that it's approximately 10 minutes worth of audio. I'll be listening to that. We'll take a mid-afternoon break so we can do that. I'll advise the attorneys at the end of the break whether we want to put further rulings on the record before the jury returns, or do that after the jury's returned. But for that reason, we do need to take our mid-afternoon recess at this time, so we will take that break and let you know when we're ready to rejoin.
All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Okay, we are back on the record on CR 22-21-1624. We took an afternoon recess. The court also reviewed in camera that portion of the podcast that's at issue. The state's raised an objection. I did review the, I believe it's about 8 or 9 minutes of the podcast on the break. And just to confirm, this would be the portion of that podcast where the defendant is making statements, and Mr. Archibald, is it the defense intention to introduce that part of the podcast as part of the evidence in the case?
Yes, Your Honor. We believe that it explains what this witness listened to without playing the entire hour and 49 minutes. We believe the first 40 minutes is relevant.
All right. And what's the objection from the state to that remaining part of this podcast that we haven't heard yet where the defendant is speaking?
And, Your Honor, the objection on that, well, there's several objections. One is we still don't believe it's relevant. Again, I think any religious matters that have been talked about, and specifically through this witness, already the podcast has not addressed those and is not in accordance with those. We don't believe the next ones that are purported to be presented by the defense would comport with any of that, either to be relevant, that it would be on the scope of direct. While a podcast is mentioned, I don't think the scope of direct would cover all content of a podcast simply because it's mentioned where there was not significant testimony regarding that. And then specifically to the portion that we are at now, I think case law is clear. Looking at two Ninth Circuit court cases, both Cisneros v. Paramo, which is 2015 U.S. District Lexus 168978. And also U.S. v. Singh, and that's a 2021 U.S. District Lexus 1572220. Those are both Ninth Circuit courts that hold a similar or make a similar finding, essentially that a defendant in a criminal case may not introduce hearsay evidence for the purpose of testifying while avoiding cross-examination. And then also looking to U.S. v. Marin. We're getting the citation right now. That is 669F273, and it is a Second Circuit Court of Appeals case. And the language out of that case as well, when a defendant seeks to introduce his own prior statement for the truth of the matter asserted, it is hearsay and it is not admissible. When the defendant offers his own statement simply to show that it was made rather than to establish the truth of the matter, the fact that the statement was made must be relevant to the issues in the lawsuit. In looking at this case, the state is aware of the content of the recording. We were able to locate our report on that since we did not know until just before it was introduced that there was going to be an attempt to introduce it. We've been able to locate our report and at least review that. The statements absolutely, in the state's opinion, would fall under hearsay. We do not believe that they meet any exception. I think they would be excluded under 801 D2. They do not meet any exception. They could, parties' statements can be introduced by the opposing party, but a party is not allowed to introduce self-serving statements simply to avoid the potential for cross-examination. These appear to be self-serving statements that would be used by the defense in trying to make an argument regarding that. So for those reasons, we believe that this should not be allowed in. Further, we would argue that if the court is inclined to grant the admission of this, that it would open the door for the state to introduce some additional evidence that has previously not been introduced and would most likely be considered 404B evidence, including statements and the circumstances surrounding the death of Joe Ryan, as well as address any allegations that may be made in the recording regarding Joe Ryan by the defendant.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. And to be fair to the state, I know you're reviewing a report on what's said here, and I guess the issue I'm kind of zeroed in on at this point before I make a final ruling is the question of whether or not this section of the podcast does in fact contain self-serving statements, because I listened to the podcast and I guess I'm not entirely sure that what I've listened to comports with the information you've got in the report there.
There was no mention whatsoever of Joe Ryan in that section. The defendant talks about religious beliefs and where she believes things are headed based on her religious views. And I carefully considered whether or not that would be a self-serving statement. I do agree with the state that the case law is pretty clear on the issue of introducing a previously recorded self-serving statement not being admissible. That is not an admission against a party opponent, so it doesn't fall outside of that 801 exception. What we have here, as I listen to it, it does not appear to me to be expressly self-serving in nature. It talks about her espousing certain religious beliefs. We looked at some of the case law about what is a self-serving statement. There's the State versus Ogden case, which is 526 P3rd Idaho 1013. It talks about a self-serving statement, and that's a factor to be weighed, whether it's a product of reflective thought rather than a spontaneous reaction. There's other case law, clearly, that self-serving declarations of defendants come into court by way of hearsay, not subject to cross-examination, shouldn't be permitted. That goes back to a 1949 case, State versus Baldwin, 69 Idaho 459. And so, first of all, on the question of relevancy, that State versus Ogden case, again, 2023 case, talks a little bit about what is relevant evidence and says relevant evidence is admissible unless the rules or otherwise in the courts of the state provide otherwise, and talks about whether it goes to a fact of consequence. And it says whether a fact is of consequence or material is determined by its relationship to the legal theories presented by the parties. And in this case, the court would note that right in the overt acts of the indictment, there are allegations about espousing religious beliefs during the very time frame that this podcast is purported to have been made that are the subject of the conspiracy counts. So I do find that it brings up a relevant issue in the case. Further, in considering whether or not there's a hearsay issue, again, in listening to it, I haven't found what I think are clearly self-serving declarations that relate directly to any of the theories in this case of what's been charged in the indictment. I don't believe that these are tailored declarations or statements that would tend to be exculpatory in nature, for example, that could have previously been thought through by the defendant in making the statements. And so upon all that consideration, I think it's, number one, relevant evidence for the jury to consider. Number two, I don't think it falls outside of the scope of what's permitted under the, or not permitted under the hearsay rules, because I don't find it to be a self-serving declaration. And so with that, what I reviewed, which is the last remaining portion of this podcast that goes right up until about the 40-minute mark on it, I am going to allow that final part of the podcast that contains the statements of the defendant to be published to the jury, and I'm going to overrule the objection of the state and allow that to be played for the jury to consider. So that'll be the court's ruling. We'll go ahead and have the jurors brought in at this time then and have that part of the podcast published, Mr. Archibald.
All right, please. Jury's offering the count of four, Your Honor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated.
All right, Mr. Archibald, based on the court's previous ruling, your exhibit's been admitted, and you can publish that remaining part that will be provided to the jury for evidence.
Very good. Thank you.
Let's be really quick so you guys can ask some questions. I am a witness of Jason Mao. I'm a witness to everything that he said. I can attest to what he says about what the prophet says and about what the Lord is telling us and about the warrior spirit inside of us. Right? My job, according to Jesus Christ, is to wake up the women warriors. Because I too have gone to the bottom edge, just like Thor, I'm a witness of his. Of his testimony, a witness of your testimony. I too have seen the resurrected Jesus Christ, and he has told me my mission, and he has sent me to help people and lift them in their missions. And so I testify about that warrior. That's what I feel like too. When Jason starts talking, I just start pounding my head. I love to hear him speak. We go through a great, I'm just a normal person that was grew up in the church, grew up in Southern California, went to Utah, went to BYU, did all those things, right? But my life turned bad. It turned really bad. And like I said, I wanted to give up. And like Laura, I was ready to go to the other side. I'm like, this is way too hard. I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be out of here. And I didn't want to kill myself. I wanted to pray and have the Lord just take me. Like, as a sweet mercy. Just take me. Done. Kind of, I'm out of this game. And he showed me myself as a warrior in the pre-existence. As a warrior, like a beast. Like I fought with Satan. He hates me. I did all these things. And so he showed that to me so that I would come home. I was crying in the temple all day long in the pleasure room, bawling my eyes out. People coming up, like, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. This is her crying all the time. But he showed me so that I too could be the warrior that he sent me here to do. And do I want to go back and say, I can't do this, it was too hard, I didn't do it? No, none of us want to go back and do that. We came here to fight this war, and what I know directly from Jesus Christ, and angels from on high who have come to minister to me, okay? The time is now that this war is on, and it has started. And what JC gave us about a timeline is accurate, true, and correct. These things will start happening in the next 2 years, and things are going to change, and we need to be ready for that change. And how we do that? We sanctify ourselves. We turn our lives completely over to Christ, and we let him build the warrior from within. And I will say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You guys can ask questions.
I like them. Yeah. It's great. We ran into each other.
Why can you stand on the ground and say, women as you are, that you're so empowered? Whoever Jesus Christ sends to me. So I pray who he wants me to go to, and he sends people to me through various means. The love comes at the temple. So that's the story of Jason and I. So I have some women that I know. That is obvious. Jason, I was sent to the temple on a certain day that there would be a message for me from Angel Moroni. On a certain day, go to the temple on this day. And I went to the temple on that day, and fully expecting the Lord to send me a messenger, because that's what he told me. So I went to the temple, and we had done the initiatories, and I went to the celestial room, and I was with my friend, who was also with me and aware that we were waiting for a message from the angel room that night. And Jason Mao walked into the celestial room. I didn't know who he was, although we had been in the same ward before a long time ago. He walks in, and my friend goes, oh, that's that guy who writes books about Moroni. And I was like, My spirit is just like burning within me, right? Like, so my whole spirit is just like burning. I'm like, oh, we're gonna have to go talk to people. Oh, I hate to go talk to people I don't know. And you're not allowed to just walk up to people, interrupt them in this lecture room while they're just pondering and those things. So I just looked into it. So I told the Lord, I said, if we're supposed to talk to him, make him come talk to us. Men in this last room and just say hi, whatever. So I didn't talk to him, but he had recognized Nicole, who he knew was my friend, because they were there. And so as he gets up to, and it was super funny because we went in and we sat in this last room, and we never sit on that side. And then we're sitting in this chair, and the spirit told me, like, move to the couch. Alright, I'll move to the couch. Like, I don't know why it's making a big difference. I'll move to the couch. Like, not that I'm not used to hearing these things already. I don't know why I bought it, right? So I just moved to the couch. And Jason had walked just right past us on the couch and sat right next on the chairs next to us. So he got up to leave, and he didn't know why he needed to come to the temple that day, but someone had sent him to the temple that day. So he kind of like it fell that far, but he sat up, and we got up to shake his hand, and I'm like, hi, and he had a message for me from Moroni. So he was probably thinking, what is this crazy lady? And we started talking, and I got to hear his story and that kind of stuff. And so, and then at the end of that, he's like, well, I need to get used with some like-minded people. I said, the Lord sent me, because I'm supposed to find these women that he sends me to, or sends them to me. And he said, he sent me to Melanie.
Good job.
And that is how Melanie and I met. And he sent her my information. She emailed me that day. She said, I'm doing a class on this Thursday. You should come. It's at the church. Up in Mesa. I'm like, oh, so far away. Okay, Heavenly Father. I'm like, I've got to get a babysitter. I've got to do all these things to go meet Melanie. And then I did. But then I saw her. I knew that she was one of them that I was supposed to be involved with and stuff, and so, and she knew it when she saw me, and she gave her a little talk, and it was so cute, and I loved it. And then someone else got to speak, and she walked out to the culture hall, and I was like, where's the culture hall? And went out there and talked to her, and we were instant sisters because we knew each other before, and that's how the Lord works. So he sends me to people. He's building his army, and he is calling people, and he is calling people to do certain missions that he needs done right now. Like, it has already begun, and he is calling people to do these missions, and they are to go forward in faith. And this is what he tells you. This is how the Lord works. He doesn't tell you exactly what you're going to do. He said, go forward, and I will tell you exactly what to do. So every day, I say, who do you need me to be? What do you need me to do? And I've sent all these women. They just come. And I'm able to share my experiences with them and share what the Lord has told me specifically about myself. And sometimes he gives me messages for them to help them in what their missions that they promised they would do before they came to this earth. And stuff they are experts at. And I love that one about Jason said, because, and what Laura says, we signed these contracts because we knew what we would be doing. We knew exactly what we would be doing, and the time is now to do those things that we promised that we would do. So, that's where you're from.
She's actually the third person that this has happened.
All right, Mr. Archibald, to make clear on that exhibit also, what can you mark for the record the point at which you've stopped the publishing?
39 minutes and 57 seconds.
Okay. We will ensure then when the exhibit's delivered to the jurors for deliberation, should they wish to review it again, that only that portion of this audio recording is supplied in the exhibit itself.
Given the time, Your Honor, I have a few follow-up questions. Should we keep proceeding, or should we start again tomorrow?
I would ask if at all possible that we proceed forward. We had this witness stay over and have already had to rearrange travel arrangements a couple times, if it's at all possible.
Okay. Why don't we continue through this witness then, Mr. Archibald?
So just to clarify, that was a podcast that you listened to in November of 2018?
Yeah, whenever that date was, but I remember hearing it before once. Okay.
And the voices were Melanie Gibb, is that right?
Yes.
And Thor Furuseth?
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. Yes.
And Jason Mao?
Yes.
And Lori Vallow?
Yes.
Okay. And the purpose for listening to a podcast is to get lifted up, to feel good about what you're doing. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And what we listen to, would that be considered mainstream LDS belief?
Probably most of it, but not all of it.
Some of it was starting to stray?
Yeah, a little, yeah.
Okay. And when you would talk to Chad Daybell about his beliefs, was he also always mainstream, or was he starting to stray?
He was starting to stray, too.
When Chad told you that Tammy Daybell visited him after her death, do you recall when that was?
No, there was more than once. He just kind of mentioned it in passing that the kids were feeling okay because Tammy had visited him in spirit form and said that she was doing okay and that everything would be okay. I can't remember.
Okay. And did you believe Chad?
I wasn't sure. I haven't had it happen to myself. And I, at that point, I didn't really doubt him. So I guess it could have done, is how I looked at it.
Okay. And just one last question. You talked about the, and I just thought it was funny. Does where you sit in church mean, does it have an indication of your spirituality?
Well, not really. It's just, I don't know, some people sit closer to the front, some sit to the back.
I think you said, the Daybell family, they started to sit close to the front, and then they had moved to the back. So I was wondering what that meant to you.
Well, it seemed like maybe they were trying to hide a little bit, I would think, from the way they were before. It wasn't that they were, I guess, more sinners or not. But
so if you want to hang out with the sinners, you sit in the back of the church.
Well, not always.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, Ms. Blake, redirect.
Just briefly, Your Honor. Mr. Gilbert, could you tell if Chad Daybell was on that recording?
I don't believe that I recognize his voice.
Did you recognize the voice of Lori Vallow?
Yes.
Are you aware, and you were asked about an individual named Thor and then Melanie Gibb and Jason?
Would you stay there?
Oh, you were asked about individuals named Thor, Melanie Gibb, and Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear them on that recording?
Yes.
Are you aware if any of their children were found buried on Chad Daybell's property?
None of them that I'm aware of.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. That will conclude the testimony of this witness then. If he's here under subpoena, can he be released and excused at this time?
We would ask that he be released, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Mr. Archibald, any objection?
No objection.
Okay. That will conclude your testimony then. The bailiff will help assist you out of the courtroom, and we'll just have you wait a moment, if you will, and we'll just... Okay, thank you. That'll conclude the proceedings for today then, and we will commence again with additional testimony tomorrow morning at 8:30. All rise for the jury, please.
All right.
That wraps up segment number 4 in our coverage today, the trial of Lori Vallow-Daybell. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage, courtroom action, interviews, and discussions on the case. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow.
Hey, everyone. This is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground. And you'd be right. Because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along. And with seating for 8, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures. It must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
From the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly, perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.